2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verses 6 through 9. There are plenty of places, lots of places, in which you never want to find yourself caught in. Like being up the street when it gets dark and mama can't find you.
All right.
Like hanging out in the store with a friend who get arrested for shoplifting. You caught with him. Don't know what he's doing, but you still there. And for those that are not saved, how about getting caught with your hands in somebody else's cookie jar? Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Of all the things that we can do in life, we don't ever want to get caught in places like that. But the truth told, when those things happen, your faith is called into question. Your faith is challenged when you are caught in between. Now, I'm not talking about Hebrews 11 faith. Oh, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a rhema faith.
Amen.
I'm talking about the faith when your bills are past due, but you still have faith.
Amen.
I'm talking about when you're standing in the unemployment line and you're number 107 for one job, but you still have faith.
Come on.
I'm talking about the faith that allows you to move a mountain. And even if she doesn't get up and move the mountain, then God gives you the power to get over it anyway. Now, faith is the thing that is required to please God. And so because we need faith to please God, Paul understood that in his time of need, he had to tap into his faith. Mm-hmm. Have you ever found yourself going through something and you really, really, really have to lean on your faith when all the friends disappear? And by the way, the account was on zero. And by the way, somebody was calling you about a credit card that you didn't forget to pay. You simply didn't have the money to pay. I'm talking about faith that kicks in at that time.
Amen.
Paul found himself facing something. Paul is a man of God. But once upon a time, Paul was a man that was in the world. He was a man that every time he saw a Christian, he made the assumption that all folks in the church was just lying about their relationship with Christ. So he would take them, find a Christian, tie them up to a pole, set them afire, and that's your street light every night. Burning bodies. Paul was a bad man. And even though we didn't literally set someone on fire, you know that little white lie you told on somebody? It burned, baby. You know when you accuse somebody of doing something that they really didn't do? It burned, baby. So all of us, like Paul, have set somebody on fire. Paul meets the Lord one day. It is high noon. The sun is shining bright, but there's a brighter sun than that sun. And that sun is the Son of God that shineth upon Paul's life and say, boy, I got need for you. And I'm sure when Paul said me, he thought of every reason why God had made a mistake in calling him. You ever feel like God made a mistake with you? Like, God, if you just knew this little part about me, you wouldn't have chosen me. Guess what? He knew that thing about you, and he still called you. Because God knows what he put inside of you. And so greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When you're going through something, you got to step out of the natural and move into your spiritual now by understanding that it's not about me. It's about he that dwelleth in me. When we understand that we're not walking alone, that we're walking by faith, and every step we take, God is ordering
Amen.
In the midst of our problems.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Paul prayed to God. And Paul was praying to God, asking God for something which he knew God wanted him to have. And that's healing. Have you ever prayed to God, asked God for a good and holy thing, and you still didn't get it?
Yes.
What do you do when you pray to God and God refuses to answer your prayer? What do you do? I mean, I fasted, I prayed, I sowed seeds, I've done the best that I could do, but God don't move. See, I need to talk to some people tonight that find yourself in that place, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, but at the same time, you're struggling with something tonight. You got some infirmities in your life. And yeah, God is telling you my grace is sufficient, but I don't want to hear that tonight, God. I want you to move this thing out of my life. Now, I love you, I trust you, but I just don't want to deal with it anymore. Now, what Paul did was Paul found himself praying unto the Lord. Let's pick up in verse number 6. Somebody, please. Verse number 6.
For though I would desire to glory.
For though I would desire. What my heart wants is glory. What my heart wants is for you to see the best in me and for me to feel the best of Jesus Christ. That's what I want. Keep reading.
I should not be a fool.
But I'm no fool.
For I would say the truth, but now I will forbear. Lest any man should think of me above that which he seeks me to be, or that he heareth of me.
Listen to what he's saying. He's saying, for if any man think of me more highly than they should, erase it. When God begins to move in your life, point number one, the first thing he'll always check is your pride. See, because the people were saying, Paul, you're a good man. And Paul, you can preach the gospel and you can quote all the scriptures and all that. And see, you get confused sometimes. Y'all don't get up and leave. But you get confused sometimes as a pastor. You get confused. And so what you can get confused about is people say, ooh, that was a good message. And so you begin to think you released a good message. You ain't got nothing to do with it. I put you in it, you are jacked up, you are tied up, you are messing all up. So God has to check your pride so that if you think more highly of me than you could, Paul says, don't be a fool. I got some stuff in my closet.
All right.
The first thing he deals with is his pride. When you acknowledge your weakness and limitations, then you can see the manifestation or the power of God. You can't see God as long as you're competing with God. See, because God will always take a seat and say, now crazy, when you finish, then call upon my name.
All right.
See, because no, God, if I do this, then everything else. And God is saying, but you don't know where I'm taking you. But I know where you are now, and you see where you are now. But when you're trying to get to your spiritual need, it's always a journey, always a process, always something that you have to go through. So you have to acknowledge your limitations. You can't win without God. And God is saying, when you acknowledge him in all your ways, then, not until, when you acknowledge him. In other words, acknowledging God is going through something and you may not have time to pray. But if I can just say, Lord, have mercy upon me. I'm glad I don't have to dress up my prayers so that they're all correct for God. I'm glad I can just send up something because he knows what's inside of me. Have you ever got caught going through something, and in the midst of going through something, the only thing that you had time to say was, Lord, have mercy on me, and somehow he showed you grace. Somehow he showed you mercy. That's the God that we serve.
Amen.
Verse number 7, please.
Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation.
Unless I should be exalted. In other words, what Paul is saying is this, that sometimes people will try to put you up and act like you know what's going on. So he says, "At least I should be exalted above measures through the abundance of what?"
Revelations.
Point number two is this. There's always a purpose behind your pain. There's always a purpose behind your pain. Your pain is there to cause a deepening relationship with God. The greater your problems, the greater grace He'll give to you. If you're not being challenged in life, check your spirituality. Check your relationship with God. If you're going through life and everyday things is just okay with you, you need to know that you're not a child of God. Because it don't work like that in the kingdom. When you're in the kingdom of God, hell come, high water come, and low water come, and no water come. If you're a child of God in the kingdom of God, baby, watch out. You're going to get tested in the midst of serving God. There's always purpose behind the pain. Keep reading, please. Verse number 7.
There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of a Satan to buffet me.
There was given to me a thorn. In other words, what he's saying is that there's something in my life. It just keeps. You got some stuff in your life that just keep. And folk won't let you forget it. Every time they see it, they bring it up. You remember? Yes, I remember. I'm saying, I get it. I know you. You're telling me about it.
All right now.
That was a thorn. Now, what it is, I don't know. Some people say it was his vision according to the book of Galatians. I don't know what it was. I just know my many infirmities. And you just know your many infirmities. And so inside of all of us right now, there's a thorn. Something that just keep. But understand that there's a purpose behind the pain that you're going to. So whatever it is, he says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan. So in other words, there's something in my life that keep coming up and Satan keep reminding me. He keep talking and placing doubt. But that's not the problem. The problem is, I'm so stupid, I'm listening. That's the problem. It's not about what he's saying, it's about what I'm receiving. See how easy it is for us to receive what Satan has said? You know that thing ain't going to work out for you. And God is saying, but I promise you, you know that never happened. And God is saying, but I'll give you the power to overcome. And Satan says, you know, well, Pookie and them, they went down on that one. And God keep telling you, but I'm going to deliver you. And they keep telling you that Ray Ray and them got caught up in that situation. And God keeps saying to you, I promise you I'm going to deliver you out of this thing. You don't see a way, but I'm still going to promise you, because there's pain, but there's purpose behind it.
Hallelujah.
So he says, Satan gave that thing to me. Least I should be exalted above measure. In other words, Satan gave it, God allowed it to stay, so that I'll stay nice and humble. Not nice and humble. Because if I didn't have stuff, I can really point your stuff out. But the reason I don't talk about you too much, because I know I'm guilty too. You see, God has a way of fixing that thing. He'll keep you silent, and God will keep your enemy silent, because every now and then he'll allow a little bit of their little secret closet to come out. So I can't talk about you and the little things in your life, because I got this big bean in my life. I'm just talking about me. You can relax. I know y'all all right. Verse number 8, please.
For this thing I besought the Lord thrice.
This thing I besought the Lord thrice. He's not saying I prayed three times. He's saying this has been my continuous prayer. My continuous prayer. In other words, he says, I besought the Lord, which means I prayed unto the Lord. That's point number 3. Listen to me. Your spiritual condition is more important than your physical right now. We look at stuff and say, you hurt me. That's physical. And God is saying, but when you flip it and look at it from a spiritual perspective, they didn't hurt you, they helped you. Because if they had not told that lie, you would have never pressed into me and you never would have saw my glory. As a result of them trying to cut you down, they made you go down on your knees but come up with some power. I'm talking about, you don't know power until you first see your weakness. Because when you weak, you really have to press. You really have to lean and depend. Verse number 9, please.
And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient.
Listen, stop right there. That verse began after he prayed about it. That verse began that verse again. Read it.
And he said.
And he said. The next point is promise. I prayed about it. When I prayed about it, what God revelated to me was the promises of God. There's nothing that you can do to stop the promises of God. You know the joy of being a Christian is you can't even mess it up. You may postpone it. You may delay it because you're out of the will, but you can't mess it up. God loves you so much, even when you're out of place, he says, I'm still going to give it to you. I'm just going to park it over here until you begin to order my step. The moment that you begin to order my step, you got to understand that even though you caught between the now and the need, when I begin to order your steps, I'm going to step in the gap. I'm going to fill in the gap. Have you ever had God to fill in the gap for you? Have you ever had a place in your life and it was just empty, a big hole, but God stepped in? Won't God step in the gap for you? Have you ever tried God and God stepped in? Won't God step in?
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
And God said, keep reading.
Unto me.
He said, now wait a minute. I told you when we started, we were dealing with a rhema faith. We talked about rhema last week. If you wasn't here, when I say rhema, what I mean is now.
Right now.
Amen.
I ain't praying nothing, God, for yesterday no more. This a new set of bills this month in the month of August. This a new circumstance, situation in the month of August. I'm asking you for some rhema stuff.
Right now.
I'm talking about this zero in my account. Right now. I'm talking about this cancel. Right now. I'm talking about my situation. Right now. I ain't talking about last month. I'm talking about right now. Right now. And he said unto who?
Me.
Keep reading.
My grace.
Whose grace?
My grace.
Now, when God gives you something, he doesn't take it back.
All right.
I got some friends in my life.
All right.
They'll give you something until you need it. You ever been going through something and you really needed something? And then Marilyn came and said, can I get that 20 back? And he said, oh, Marilyn, it's not today. She would have asked me last week, I had 520. I really don't have a $19 right now. I can't even give it to you if I wanted to give it to you. But God says, my grace. In other words, he sealed that thing and said, what I'm going to do for you, can't nobody stop me. Can't no devil in hell, can't no messenger in hell, can't you be in Buffett, nothing can stop me.
Grace.
What grace is getting what you don't deserve or not getting what you do deserve. Because you know the truth of the matter is you ain't always right.
All right.
That's all right. Let me talk about me. Sometimes the problem is me and I look at God and say, why don't you fix it? And he says, why don't you get in my will? I'm just talking about me. Sometimes in life, what you going through, you really cause that thing. Sometimes what it is that you dealing with is all your fault. But guess what? God says, I cancel that baby out with grace.
Thank you, Lord.
My grace is what?
Sufficient.
My grace is sufficient. In other words, all you really need is my grace.
Yes.
My grace will take care of everything that you need.
Hallelujah.
Have you ever found yourself going through something? I mean, really struggling with something? And as you begin to go through something, what you understood is that God showed up, and when he showed up, he showed up with his grace. And you may not have the meal for tomorrow, but I ate good today.
Amen.
Just like I trusted you today,
yes.
I'm going to trust you for the same thing tomorrow. I may only have $5 worth of gas today, but just like you said, John, today, I'm going to trust you and Bob tomorrow at the same time, in the same place, because his grace is sufficient. And sometimes in dealing with God, he won't give you an overflow right then. He'll give you just enough. We call it manna. Whatever it is, I don't even know. All I know is just show up when I need it. I thank God he knows what I need. I thank God he knows when I need it. I thank God he knows where I am. Everything that I need, he knows how to get it to me, because he says my grace is sufficient for who?
Thee.
My faith.
Yay.
For me. Y'all have to excuse me, but listen to me. Sometimes I ain't praying for you.
All right.
I don't want to shock you.
All right. Yeah.
Sometimes, baby, I got my own battle.
Right.
I'm not calling your name in my prayer.
Okay.
Now, I know some of y'all, y'all holding. And you say, well, you should be praying for my... Baby, sometimes I don't even know what to pray for myself. Sometimes I'm just trying to get my... Somebody call you, ask you to pray for the same thing that you going.
All right.
Pray that God would just give you a financial blessing. Me too.
All right.
I pray God will release me from this situation. Me too. It's not me pray for you.
Right.
Let me call you and give you some of my problems. Then you gonna hang up the phone. Ooh, I ain't calling no more. My grace is sufficient for thee. God knows your name.
Yes, he does.
The joy of serving the Lord is that when you find yourself in trouble and you cry out to God, he doesn't say, now who is that? Because he knows your voice. Because on a good day you were praying. It's on a bad day, he says, I know that voice.
Yeah.
Because you have a relationship with him. And in the midst of going through something, when you have a relationship, not with our Father, which are
right now,
forget about that. Help me.
Yeah.
Relationship. That's what Abba means. Abba means daddy. When you go to your daddy, it's not a dressed up daddy. I need $50. I need it now. And it's all ugly, broken English. But he knows what you need.
Right.
Thank God we serve a God who knows what we need. Knows when we need it. And he can always get it to you. Have you ever tried the Lord and going through something and nobody knew your needs? As a matter of fact, you were trying to be cute in the midst of going through something. You need it? No, I'm all right. You go home, fall on your face. Thank God I can stretch out and say, God, this is how ugly it is. This is how bad it is. But I don't surprise him with what I say. And he surprised me when he show up. Because in my weakness, his grace is God. Because he understood in verse number 9 the promise, he then says, most gladly. It's kind of a royal thing, English thing. Most gladly. It's my pleasure to serve you. Because I know I've been through hell and high water, but most gladly. I'm just happy, Lord, that you chose me. So most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I want to say this in closing, and that is, what you're going through is for the person that doesn't read the Bible to read your life, your name, chapter number August, verse number 3. It's about you. See, the power of God that rests upon your life. That's what your struggles are about. It ain't about you. It's about God. It's about God. Job says, though he slay me. Will I trust him? Though he slay me. Yet. As we stand tonight, why don't I extend an invitation to someone here tonight? And that's an invitation that perhaps you feel like God has walked away from you. Yet will you trust Him?